Welcome into the producers, the Dive Bar Edition here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik, special guest Baby Tausch, the three of us all here to kick your ears ass. Greg, what's happening, brother?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, living the dream, brother. Cubs are on. It's Thursday night when we're recording this. Right now, seventh inning. The good guys are up 8-6.
Not the good guys.
What?
Not the good guys.
The good
Cubs.
Guys aren't playing anymore.
Okay, so.
Turn it.
No. Safe. Run scores. All right, 9-6 Cubs. Okay, so anyway, we got a busy show for you. We're going to talk about the beloved, the Packers. Give you our thoughts on their season so far. Give you a little preview of the Vikings. Then we'll get into the baseball predictions with the playoffs going hot and heavy here. And what a crazy game this Game 5 Cubs and National is. And then we'll talk about the NBA. Would you pay Jabari and give you our NBA predictions since that season is already right around the corner? It seemed like the offseason just started.
Well, that's where all the fun is. I think that's basically the entire season.
I know. For me,
they don't really need to play basketball. Just allow people to send emojis and entertain us on social media. That's really what the NBA is.
Hell yeah. all right, so let's start with the beloved boys. Packers face the Vikings, the first noon game of the season. I love the 12 o'clock starts. I can't lie. I think it's the perfect time. And I'm so glad it's here. So Packers, they sit in first place, 4-1. What are your thoughts on the Pack so far this year, Greg?
They're playing phenomenal. I mean, they had a hiccup against Atlanta, but you had some injuries that took place in that game and before that game. But for the most part, I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Pretty much we're going to say the same thing every year. As long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you can't go wrong. There's nothing you can do. When you have that guy on your team, magical things are going to happen. And you just witnessed it when they played Dallas, how great that man is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable what he can do not only when the game's online, just at any point in time.
He's
what
an
he can
angel.
Do with what he can, yeah. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, thank you for Aaron Rodgers. it's remarkable what that guy can do. And as long as he's on the field, you're going to make the playoffs. Bar none.
Yeah. Tausch, what about you, buddy?
Well, it's hard to argue with whatever Greg just said there with Aaron Rodgers because it does begin and end there. But the whole team has really bought into the philosophy. He said it a couple of weeks ago. And I joked with Rami and Sparky if it was the new tagline, if it was going to be the new relax or, I think we can run the table. He just said our motto this year is no excuses. And when there's no excuses, they're able to play with anybody. And they've played through a lot of adversity that a lot of teams aren't going to face. When you look at losing two starting tackles, one who's a top five player at his position in the league.
Right.
And for the team to be able to continue to move guys in and out and grow the young talent that Mike McCarthy talks about, that's what the first, 8 weeks is. You've got to figure out what your roster is, and that's for the push of the second season. There's been this big thing that people want to talk about, the four quarters of the NFL season.
Right.
And you go 3-1 in the first, you try to go 3-1, and you're going to be able to probably have a first-round bye. That all comes into the effect of the first two quarters. The first half of the game, you're still feeling each other out. You're still feeling out what you're going to do. And a lot of that comes to the development of young players. And you see Aaron Jones last week making the impact, Jeff, that he felt that he could do. And obviously the entire Green Bay Packers organization did, or they wouldn't have given him the opportunity to come at a fifth round pick. So the team has continued to progress in the way, Greg, like you're going to need. But Jeff, when you are finally getting into the nuts and bolts of the season, weeks 11, 12, 13 into the later parts of the season, a lot of times that's when you're going to face the adversity that this team's gone through, but they've had to go through it in the first 4 weeks, which really just makes you stronger.
It does. It is a blessing in disguise, these injuries, because you get the guys off the bench that weren't expected to play a huge role, especially right off the bat. They get experience. They're going to be ready when it comes down to week 12, week 14, week 16. They've been there. They've done that. They'll be ready to step in, next man up, will actually mean, you know, next man up without missing that much of a beat. So, yeah, you know, they got beat up. They got their ass kicked against Atlanta.
You did.
You know.
You got your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Sure did.
And but, you know, like I said, the early injuries was a blessing in disguise. Now, you brought up Aaron Jones. Greg, what do you think about Aaron Jones and, you know, once Montgomery comes back, who do you think should get the majority of the carries?
Aaron Jones. He needs to be the starter the rest of the year. When you watched him play on Sunday against Dallas, you saw a dimension that you haven't seen at the running back position in Green Bay in a long time. You saw him, he looked fast. And we were talking about this right before the postgame show. He looked fast. He was making cuts when he was supposed to make cuts. He had good vision. He's good receiving the ball out of the backfield. Everything that you needed, you need in a running back in this offense, he gave to you. And Montgomery is a good player. But running back isn't his natural position. And he just doesn't look fast like Jones did.
Right.
Jones just looked quick. He hit the hole with a burst, and he went. And if he continues to play like this, I don't know how you can give the ball back to Montgomery at this point in time. Maybe you give Montgomery third down snaps and just have him be the change of pace back and the third down back where you can count on him more as a receiver. But if Jones is running like this against the Vikings – and then Montgomery comes back against the Saints or after the bye, whatever it may be, and Jones has been dominating, how can you replace him?
But
stay with the hot hand.
But I don't know if it's got to be that cut and dry, guys. There's you see two-back systems in the NFL all around the league. That's kind of how you have to play. You have to have two guys, two or three guys at that position that you can trust to get you carries and get you production. But the vision that Jones showed was – Greg, what you were pointing to, just the, kind of the quickness that he plays, I think a lot of that's got to be the quickness that the game comes to him and more of the natural motion of playing that position, the flow of the cuts like you were talking about, and being able to find the holes before they develop. Ty's very good once he gets behind his guys, and he's able to wear on teams a little bit. I think you saw that in a couple of the games that he played last year. He's able to wear on you a little bit and start to get, you know, more significant pickups on the lesser plays, but Jones' ability to get just a couple, just the dive forward gain of 2 yards when you're continually trying to string the play out and you're continually trying to see something happening, the ability to know nothing's going to open up, I just got to get what I can, is something that you get when you play the position, Greg, like you said, for 16, 17 years.
Well, you look at his touchdown run that he had. And
it was beautiful.
It was a phenomenal run.
And he saw the backside cut coming from behind as he saw the flow of the backer.
Mm-hmm. And ran over a couple guys getting into the end zone. That's not something you see Montgomery doing.
Right.
Now, as Bill said, you know, you have a two-back system, and it's not very often you just have one lead back. And I don't necessarily know if you need a two-back system in Green Bay's offense because you rely on the passing game so much.
But you need two guys.
Yeah, you need two guys. But I think that Aaron Jones will get majority of the first and second down snaps if he continues to play the way he does because he just makes that offense, which already is unbelievable, just that much more dynamic.
Yeah, you know, and he not only did he show the speed – there were runs where he had the patience, where he kind of ran like Le'Veon Bell, where he waited for his blocks to develop.
Right, waiting to see what he saw developing.
Yeah, and he also had runs where he just made one move and headed straight upfield. Mm-hmm. And you saw the burst, and you saw the results, and it was very impressive. Now, you know, am I going to crown his ass after 1 week? No. But I'm very intrigued, and I'm happy. I love it.
Well, it's not just 1 week. You also saw him come in at the end of the game the week before, and he looked good in that showing. And I think that's why they went with him when they played Dallas, because you had Jamal Williams healthy.
I was so hammered in that game, I don't remember.
Yeah, the game against
that's
the Bears.
That's how I'm planning to be this weekend.
In the game against the Bears, he came in, and he looked good in relief of Montgomery and Williams when they both went down. And I think that's why he got the start against Dallas, because even when Williams was healthy, Williams didn't show that burst that Jones did.
Right.
The one thing will be to see how he holds up in pass pro. We saw him catch the football, so he can do that. Obviously, that's something that Ty, being a natural wide receiver, he's going to have a little bit of an advantage over. He is pretty good coming out of the backfield, but
You got to protect Rodgers.
You got to be able to protect a franchise. But that's one thing
That's one thing that Montgomery struggled with in preseason. Right. There's a lot of talk that Williams might end up being the starter because
when you talk about Greg, like you were saying, Montgomery being a third down back. That's why I'm saying if you have two guys that can play at any time, the traditional set of the first two guys are the first two downs are the guys that run the football, and they're the guys that are going to pick you up 2 to 4 yards every time. And then the third down back is a faster guy that's small and can catch the NFL just doesn't play that way anymore. You see the whole personnel groups. Everybody is changing it around. That's just not how you play ball anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they keep you on your toes. Keep
you
got to
have two guys that can play at any time.
Yeah. So looking down the rest of this schedule, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of tough games, do I dare say, for the Packers, down the road. Maybe Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's not
But you can always lose a Jacksonville.
You can always lose a game that you're not supposed to. I think that's you saw it since against Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, and McCarthy has a history of doing that
for sure.
So every
team does.
It's nice
though.
Having the bye where they have the bye that's in the middle of the season. You don't have that early.
Yeah.
The early season bye like you did last year,
yep.
Where you have to go 10 straight games into the playoffs
mm-hmm.
Since you had your bye so early.
Well, okay, so with a 4-1 start, now what are your revised predictions for the season for the Packers?
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender, and that's just about it.
Okay.
They're one of two or three teams in the NFC that you really could look at going to the Super Bowl. There's going to be two to three more, obviously, that get into the dance that will have a chance, and the ball bounces the right way.
Right.
But they're one of two or three teams that legit have a chance to win the Super Bowl every year.
You look at the NFC besides Atlanta and Green Bay, we're watching Carolina and Philadelphia play right now.
Those are two good teams, man. They got good defenses. Teams.
Carolina's got a good defense, but Cam Newton's just throwing the ball all over the place, and he should have had just about four interceptions in the last mm-hmm. drive alone. And Wentz, you have a second-year quarterback.
Who I like a lot.
Who's a good player.
I like him a lot.
But he's going to be good.
Doesn't have that playoff experience.
He's won championships.
Division 2.
He won championships.
Championships are championships.
Championships are championships. He's played in playoff games.
FCS.
He's won four titles. That's a winner.
But you know,
look at Deshaun Watson. He was a winner.
Well, absolutely.
And look what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he also played Alabama and top notch defenses.
But the players are better than around him then.
But it's in my opinion, the NFC comes down to Atlanta and Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say it's the NFC Championship tomorrow, Atlanta, Green Bay. Who you got, Greg?
It would be in Atlanta because they beat
the
Packers. Everybody healthy?
Everybody healthy.
Both teams 100%?
100% health.
I'm going to go with Packers.
All right. What about you, Tosh?
I'd go Green Bay. I don't see the big fear in Atlanta.
I know they're a good team,
but You're gonna have to shoot out with just about anybody.
Not
with the way the defense has been playing already.
That's the thing. But
I'm saying the Atlanta defense has allowed you in shootouts all in the last two games that you've played them.
I think Atlanta kicks our ass yet again.
See, I think the defense is starting to come together. I think they had a rough start against Dallas, but then once they got it going, these young guys are Jones and King. Are just make this defense so much better. Jones especially, playing inside the box and being able to defend the tight ends. Elliott really didn't have that many yards. I think he went over the century mark, but that's because he had 28, 29 carries. But for most of the time, he was bottled up. He was only averaging three and a half yards a carry.
Yeah.
And that's a really good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
You don't turn the ball over, you'll have a chance.
Well, yeah, they'll have a chance.
Look at the last two times. Ripkowski turns the ball over in the NFC Championship game. That's a whole different ball game.
Crosby missed field goal.
Rodgers gives up two tugs in like a minute and a half on picks and fumbles, and the game changes this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. What say you, Milwaukee? What do you think of the Packers so far? Grade their 4-1 start. What are your predictions the rest of the way? Hit us up on Twitter at 105.7 Producers, at Greg Crew 82, at Bill Schmid Radio, at Jeff _ Orlowski. When we come back, we'll give you a little Viking preview and our predictions for this Sunday's game. You're rocking with the Producers, the Dive Bar Edition, here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com.
This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2 Wauwatosa.
Welcome back to the Producers at Dive Bar Edition here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik, baby freaking Tausch in the house, kicking your ears ass. Well, the 4-1 Packers are going up to Minnesota to take on the stupid 3-2 Vikings. I hate them.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you're going to the game.
I'm going to the game. I'm going to the boat. We drove around there this year. I went up to see the Twins and Brewers, and we drove past it. Dude, the place looks awesome, man.
Nice.
So I'm real excited. Go up there Saturday, do a little bit of drinking, and then Sunday, go to the game and do a little bit of drinking.
Do they have they still have the train system that runs?
They do.
Man,
and
that's the
we're
way to
staying
go.
Like
that's
at,
the way to go.
We're staying at some cousin's house, and I'm pretty sure she's not even going to be there. And it's apparently right on the train. So
nice,
easy access to go in and out, man, for sure.
I went
when they played at the Humpty Dump, and that's what it did. It just dropped you off. You went to like the Mall of America. Mm-hmm. You just drove over there, and it shuttled you right over. It was freaking sweet.
Not bad. Well, what are your thoughts on this game here, Greg?
They're gonna win, especially if the Vikings don't have Sam Bradford. I know Case Keenum has played decent. Thought Bradford looked absolutely atrocious last game.
On Monday night, he was hurting, dude.
I mean, they almost lost to the Bears, and that's a bad Bears team. And they have a solid defense. That secondary is going to give the Packers some problems. I think you're probably going to see Rhodes shadowing Jordy. But then I think Davante Adams just has to step up at that point in time. You need Jones to continue to run the way he's doing, but I don't think you really have to worry about the Vikings offense at all, just because they don't have anybody. Their top running back's out for the year with a torn ACL.
Diggs might not play.
He's got a groin issue or hamstring.
I love
issue.
Watching that dude, man.
He's
good. I just love watching him talk trash.
I mean, as long as you can take care of Adam Thielen in the seam routes and all the under routes, you're fine.
All right. Baby T.
Yeah, I think the Packers will win. I don't know if it's going to be that easy. I don't see it being a very high-scoring game. It's 47 is the over-under, and I would go with the under. I think Mike Zimmer's teams always play Aaron Rodgers tough. Rodgers 4-2 since he's taken over the Vikings as the head coach, but I mean, look at a couple of those games. Last year's game at Minnesota was tight. The game where the Vikings ended up winning the NFC North up at Lambeau 2 years ago was like 17-13. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer, as some people say, than the experts think, or as the geniuses in Las Vegas do, because I would love to talk to those guys and figure out how to beat those Lions, because good freaking Lord, dude. They're right on.
Always.
Lines have never been higher in the last 20 years, and they just keep getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a gambling show. Is that cool? Do you think they'd let me?
Hell, man, I'm in.
They have the gambling show that airs right before the fantasy football show.
Those guys are funny, because I think it's almost just like an infomercial.
Oh, it's so bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad.
As of now, Green Bay, you know, they're road favorites by 3 points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's by the degenerates, BibleBovada.com. But, you know, so
all recreational purposes.
Of course. You know, they think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be close. You know, this is a game where it sets up where the Packers, everything on paper looks like the Packers are going to dominate. You know, like Greg was saying, you know, you don't know if Bradford's going to play, so then they're on a backup quarterback. They're already on a backup running back. You know, they're probably Diggs. I know he didn't practice Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So chances are, you know, is 50-50 if he plays or not. And so everything looks like it's going the Packers' way. And that makes me nervous.
And it's Packers-Vikings, though, right?
I know.
It's a division game. The teams know each other so well. And there's, dude, there's pros over on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you forget about that.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. You know, like I said, it just makes me nervous when everything is going green.
Everything
green
points Bay. One side.
Yeah, right. Then usually it goes to the other. But we'll see. You think the Packers defense, you know, matches up good against Thielen and McKinnon?
Well, if you McKinnon, he's a decent talent, but I don't think you really have to worry about him. Thielen, as long as Randall's not
Thielen's
on him,
good.
He'll be fine.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Randall's your big issue. And
Thielen's a good ball player, though.
Thielen is a good ball
player.
He
runs good
player.
Routes, and he's a good possession receiver. Good,
right now, you've had Randall playing that slot corner, at least you did against Dallas. Mm-hmm. He got burned. So if you can bring somebody else, maybe Morgan Burnett can play that.
Burnett might not play. He hasn't practiced
Josh Jones,
the last
then.
Couple days.
Get your time in. Yeah.
You know, because the Packers, you know, chances are they're going to be without King.
That's a big miss without Morgan Burnett.
Absolutely.
Kevin King in concussion protocol.
You know, and Ha-Ha, he's, you know, he's kind of been the mystery guy. You haven't heard his name called
a
whole lot.
We had a dude on the big show today call and say the Packers should cut Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Well, that guy's an idiot.
Right. But
what?
Has anything really gotten to that point of where people are questioning Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? The entire secondary is going to be okay.
Well, of course.
Green Bay Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, and should be NFL Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, has said Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is the best safety in the NFC.
Yeah. I know.
And this guy,
I think second best. I think the guy with the Vikings is number one. Harrison Smith is a baller. Did you see that? You see that play on Monday Night Football? Take it away, Trubisky. Spoiled that little.
He's so baited
him in, dude. Just boxed him out and undercut the route. It was gorgeous.
It was.
That's the thing. You can see any turnovers in this game. Trey Waynes is a good ball player. Xavier Rhodes on the outside and Harrison Smith over top. That's a legit top five defense that the Packers are going up against this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And Aaron Jones, that's a tough matchup. That's a tough boys. Those are tough guys to run up against.
Linval
that front
Joseph,
seven is nasty.
Linval Joseph
Barr, Anthony
Kendricks.
Barr. It's a stout team, man. It's going to be close. It's going to be a dogfight.
All right. Well, it's prediction time, boys. Let's go with Baby T.
I'll say 24-14 Packers.
All right. You got them covering.
27-13.
All right, same with you. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 31-17.
Hold on. So now that's going to that's 48, right?
31-17, yeah,
yep.
That's 48.
Okay, so you're the only one that says that my bet wouldn't win.
Yep, I'm taking the Packers
sure.
and
so
the
all
over.
Your predictions, all of our predictions are by double digits, but yet we just had
just
a six-minute conversation on how close the games are going to be.
It's going to be tight, but man – a two-score game's a close game still.
The Vikings don't have an offense right now.
It's tough for them to score points. Right. It's
but,
tough
you know, Case right. Keenum, man, he put up he's looking good.
He has looked
good.
Just see who can get open.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. What say you, Milwaukee? Who's going to win this game, Vikings or Packers? What's your over-under? Hit us up on Twitter at 1057 producers, at GregCrew82, at Jeff_Orlowski, at Bill Schmid Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball playoffs, give you our predictions, ALCS, NLCS. You're rocking with the producers, the Dive Bar Edition here on 1057 FM, thefan.com.
This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2, Wauwatosa.
Welcome back to the Dive Bar edition of the producers here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik, special guest Baby Tausch. Oh, a threesome here. Kind of gross.
You're like stuck in the middle, though.
I know. It's...
Does that make us the cookies, Greg?
It's a very uncomfortable spot. Let's switch topics. Let's talk about baseball.
We talked about fertility on the big show today, so nothing is past me now.
Oh, God. Well, yeah.
And we had an expert on the subject, and that was Mike Wickett. So when I think fertility, I think that guy.
Well, when Gary was asking if Wickett put out eggs, if they were going to freeze Wickett's eggs, he wasn't the expert. So that's for damn sure.
Yeah, neither of them were the expert. I can tell you that much.
Oh, baseball playoff time, game five, NLCS, man. This is one hell of a game.
Talking about fertility. It's going to be a lot of babies conceived in probably in the next month. Think about it. Then the parade, wherever it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about that on the show?
Of course.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I know this. I swore the last time I was on here, so it's pretty acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, we got a beep machine.
Cool, nice, perfect.
Do whatever the hell you want. No one's
doesn't
listening anyway.
The dumb button back here isn't working.
All right, let's start in the AL because we know who the hell's playing there. Yankees, Astros. Baby Tausch is wearing a hideous Yankees thing. On?
It's a beautiful hooded sweatshirt. It's embroidered. Look at this thing. Look at that thing. That's nice.
Yeah, it says Yankees.
It's nice.
Burn
it's warm.
It. Burn it.
It's hooded?
Yeah, it's hooded. You just can't see it with my hair. This is going to be a good series.
Yeah, it is.
It's be a really good series. Astros are rolling, and the Yankees are on some kind of wave, man. That whole party that they had last night after the game, put it together. They did it without Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge for that entire DS. They came back from 2-0 deficit, so... That's a good ball club going into Houston, and Houston looked like a freight train against Boston.
Yeah, they sure did.
That's going to be a good series.
They look so damn good. They got Boston's manager fired.
Right? Yeah, John Farrell.
He gone.
Yeah, your team is not nearly as good as them, so you're gone. Even though Dave Dombrowski's the genius that traded Travis Shaw for Tyler Thornburg and then threw in two new prospects.
Yeah.
Who's the problem?
Hey, gotta love it. Houston Yankees, Greg, who you got in that one?
I'm going to go with the Astros. Astros have pretty much been one of the best teams in all of baseball the entire year. Yankees have played well. I think they played above expectations. I think they didn't expect to be where they are right now.
Kind of like the Brewers.
Exactly. Only they made the playoffs. And the Astros right now have all the talent in the world. And right now is when... experts and the pundits said Houston, this is when Houston shows up. This is when they start their 2-3 year run. And they made a good trade picking up Verlander.
Great deal, man. It was a great deal.
You got Keuchel. Oh, yeah. It's Houston's series to lose. And I think Houston will take it, I'm going to say, 6 games.
Okay. All right, baby T, I think I know where you're going, but
yeah, I kind of think Houston's going to win the series.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're good. Like Greg said, they're a team that's ready to pounce. But to go back to Verlander, how was there not more interest in that guy?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I mean, look at the numbers. I know he hadn't been a top five guy in the AL pitching in Detroit, but since coming over, he's been damn near unhittable.
Yeah, lights out.
And that's
out.
Still a veteran presence. I mean, you want to talk about sending a shockwave to your team, the shockwave the Cubs obviously got when they went and got Quintana, one that the Brewers obviously didn't want to put into their team. When you bring Justin Verlander into a clubhouse, sorry for the voice crack, but that just changes it.
Oh, it does.
That changes the entire game.
It does, and thank God that that Houston advanced. Now we have a 7-game series. We get to see Cade Upton for, you know, at
right.
least
mm-hmm.
at least four, probably five
God
or six
bless
more
the
times.
Houston yes. Astros. Oh, I agree, you. Jeff.
Hallelujah.
That is a great idea.
You know.
She could be cat daddying the entire series, and I wouldn't watch an inning of the game.
Yeah, true that. True that. I give Houston the advantage, too. Now, my thing is, if the Yankees beat Houston game one, and they beat Keuchel.
And they get on top of them.
They get on top. Then look out. Because then I think game one is of utmost importance to Houston. They
For sure.
have to get off to a good
yeah,
start.
I agree with you.
They need that confidence more than the Yankees do. Now, you know, we all saw Aaron Judge. I think they're not even playing today, but I think he just struck out again. You know, you know, he's where the hell's he been? You know, he made that one catch.
They were gone.
He saved that.
Him and Gary Sanchez were gone.
Yeah,
Didi Gregorius carried him in that game in Cleveland.
They looked checked out at the plate. Judge had no idea what the hell he was doing up there. He looked so uncomfortable.
His pitch selection, man, is just horrible.
He went through a stretch about three quarters of through the season where he was just atrocious.
Uh-huh.
He was batting like 120. I think he set the major league record for consecutive
games with a strikeout.
Luckily enough, with a guy like that, though, you just need one.
Well, that's true.
You need to connect on one, and it can get rolling for him.
Thing is, with Houston, their offense is just so
good. It's very good.
Good.
But that Yankee lineup is nothing to sneeze at. When you can bring Chase Headley off the bench whenever you need him, that's a good lineup, too. So, Jeff, I think you're right, though. That game one is very, very important to Houston.
Yeah.
You got to win with Keuchel on the mound.
Yeah, you do.
Just like the Indians lost with Kluber on the mound, and you saw how that did.
Yep.
Twice.
Yeah, yep. Twice. Yeah, I still can't believe that the Indians lost. I thought they were going to take that series for sure. But, you know, what can you do? So I'm going to say Houston in five. I think that.
You think it's going to be quick?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fairly quick.
I think it could go seven.
Wow, okay.
It could be a seven-game series. Now, I know you don't want to bring this up, but can we just talk about the National League? It's Cubs and Dodgers, dude.
It's not over, man. It's not over yet. The Cubs need six more outs to advance to face the Dodgers.
As much as I hate saying it, I don't see how anything beats what the Cubs have going on the field right now. In the clubhouse, in the dugout, their pen is, people want to say it's suspect, but
it's awful.
It's really not that bad, though. You got four guys that you can go to and expect to get out of the inning scoreless.
You know.
I mean, you're going to give up runs, but that's a good team all around, dude. I know the Dodgers are what they are. They won 100 plus games, but
why do I think you're just giving them props, trying to like do the jinx on them?
I wish I had that much power, dude, because I would have been doing it for the last three months. But I think I really do. I think
speaking of jinxes, where's your
that
cup
is
gear?
Nope.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Nope.
Right? Thank you for reminding me. So you will not wear Cubs gear right now because you think that they lose when you wear it.
Yes. Yes, they do. Every time.
So on off days, you're going to rock a Rizzo jersey or?
Nope. I'm not putting on another Cubs anything. Now I'm not putting on a jersey. I'm not wearing my hat. I'm not putting on my Cubs underwear.
I was going to say, watch out for those boxers.
Yeah. Nope. I'm not putting on anything until the season is over. Whether that's tonight, whether that's in the NLCS, or, you know, whether
now
that's
that is
in,
a true fan right there.
You know, it's just, in certain things, I'm very superstitious, and that's one.
That's cool, though. My mom used to be so mad, like, when we would be watching Packers games or Brewers games, she'll, like, change her shirt mid-game because she thinks that, well, this one's just unlucky, so I need to put on a new shirt.
Superstitions
She's
in
smart.
Sports. Why do you think you had hockey players that never shave their beards, baseball players that don't change their underwear for a week.
Same thing. Baseball players are weird guys.
It's
you don't have any superstitions?
No.
Really?
No, not really. No.
Even when you played?
Even when I played. I mean, like, I had, like, things that I did before every game, but they were more to just kind of do. I guess they sound kind of superstitious when I talk about, I did, like, a tempo shower because I read it online that it woke you up more. So maybe that's a little bit.
So you go from hot to freezing cold?
Yeah, you go like hot to cold, like every like 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that. And I would do that after I did my stretches out on the field and throw my gear on.
Huh. But you're not superstitious.
Right. Yeah. So maybe I am a little superstitious.
All right, Greg. So
yeah,
if
I'm superstitious. Yeah.
If it's Cubs Dodgers, who you got, Greg?
Dodgers. I think whoever the Dodgers face, Dodgers, whether it be Dodgers Cubs, Dodgers Nationals, I think the Dodgers have just the entire all-around talent to win that series. They have great pitching. They have good hitting. Bellinger's a beast, and he hasn't shied away from the spotlight. I just think they have the talent. And, I mean, the way the season's gone so far, it should end up being a Houston, L.A. World Series.
Okay.
That's the way it should, just because those were the two best teams throughout the year in the American League and the National League. Those are the two teams that should play for the World Series. And I think those are the two teams that will play for the World Series. I think the Cubs will beat Washington. I'm never going to count out the Cubs, though. I never will. I told you doing these podcasts last year during their run and after they won the World Series, they have all the makings of being winning multiple World Series. So I'll never count them out, especially when you have Maddin as your manager, probably the best baseball mind there is right now.
Yeah, but he almost crapped the bed in Game 7 of the World Series last year. Made some questionable decisions in the playoffs already.
He made one that I'm questioning a lot, pulling out Quintana in that seventh inning of Game 5.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens right now. You probably can have Wade Davis coming in right now, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so Greg has the Dodgers in the World Series. Tausch, what say you?
I told you, man, I think the Cubs are going. If they're getting past the Nationals, they're getting past the Dodgers, I don't even think that Dodgers series is going to be close. I think the Cubs are going to win in like 5 games. I think that's the one that has the makings of being a 4 or 5-game series is the Cubs over the Dodgers.
And then, Jeff, I already know what you're going to say. You're going to say the Cubs are going to lose just because.
Yeah, I've got the Nationals winning tonight to advance to face the Dodgers, and I think no one wins because, you know, the Nationals, they choke all over themselves, and so do the Dodgers.
Dude, I'm hoping the Nationals win because then I got some money waiting for me when I get in Vegas. So.
Dusty Baker, nice. Too, man.
Oh, dude, Dusty is horrible.
Ridiculous.
I'm so glad he's not still on the north side. And, you know, that's the only reason why I had a lot of confidence in today's game, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but because Dusty's in the other dugout. But, you know, that said, I can't pick the Cubs. So,
how many toothpicks do you think that guy goes through every game?
Dude, and those toothpicks, like when he first went to Chicago, they gave you, like, you know, the make and the model and all this kind of crap. Those toothpicks are like $3, $4 a pop.
Like each piece of wood?
Yeah. Mint flavored, and it had everything. It was all broken down. It was like fucking freaking $3-4 a piece.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
God, I wish I was rich.
Hello. I sure as hell wouldn't blow it on toothpicks, though.
No, I can tell you what. Yeah.
All right. So, so, Greg, you've got the Dodgers
something like that.
You got the Dodgers in Houston, and who you got winning the World Series?
Dodgers in Houston. I want to say it goes 7 games. I'm going to give it to the Dodgers just because I think Houston doesn't have that experience just yet. Kind of what you saw with Kansas City a couple years ago when they went to the World Series and lost and then won it the next year. I think that's what you're going to see with Houston.
Okay, baby T, you got the Cubs and you've got the Astros. Who you got winning it all?
Man, I hope the Astros win it. I really hope they win. I can't. I'm telling you, I can't stand another year of the Cubs being the champions. I can't take another year of doing the post-game show after we have 30,000 Cubs fans in Miller Park in the first weekend of the year, and I'm already sick of baseball at that point. Like, I'm already done with the season, and I still have 5.5 months of work, and I'm excited about it, but it just I can't have them win another one. But I ultimately think if they're in the series, I think they got a really good shot at winning it.
All right.
Yeah, what I can't stand is...
They got a great staff. They got a great lineup. They got a great manager.
The W.
Yeah.
I cannot stand the W. I hate the W flag. I
love it.
I hate everything about it. I feel it, Greg. You can't even talk about it. It's just pure frustration.
It makes me mad. And Jeff, if you weren't my friend and... I didn't respect you, you would hear me full on cheering as loud as possible right now for the Nationals.
Hey, go ahead. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, but I just respect
you. It makes it even sweeter for you.
No, you know, I was a Packer fan growing up in Chicago. So, I'm used to it. You know, everybody hated my team. So, you know, it is what it is.
I get you.
So now in the World Series, I've got the Astros facing no one because I've got no team coming out of the National League. I think the NLCS, I think both teams, every player spontaneously combusts because, you know, they're so nervous about choking. So I'm going to say the Astros win the World Series. And since they're not playing anybody, I think they sweep.
Yeah, probably 4 games.
Yeah, I hope so. What say you, Milwaukee?
This is something right now.
What'd you say?
This is something right now.
No, MLB guidelines and
hey,
FCC things.
What say you, Milwaukee? Who you got coming out of the baseball playoffs? Hit us up on Twitter at 105.7
Producers.
I'm cheering
for the nothing team.
Yeah, you know,
team
you might
that's
as
not
well.
Playing.
At Greg Crew 82, at Bill Schmidt Radio, at Jeff _ Orlowski. One segment to go. We're going to talk NBA. Yeah, you heard that right.
Jeff's favorite subject.
Yeah, it'll be Greg and Baby Tausch. I'm checking out of here. We'll be right back. You're rocking with the producers here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com.
This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2, Wauwatosa.
Welcome back to the Producers Dive Bar Edition here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik, Baby Tausch, last segment here. NBA basketball, it's back already. Oh, how I missed you.
It's like Christmas for you, right? Or like New Year's Eve, kind of just all of them built in together. It's like that whole first week. I don't think Jeff sleeps. He just watches NBA basketball the whole time.
Yep. Him and Mitch go to they're the Bucks reporters.
Nice.
Yeah, wake me up when that mess is over. But anyway, okay, let's talk about Jabari Parker. Now, Embiid, he got, what, 4 years? Or five years,
$148 million.
Yeah.
And then that guy has the audacity to put on Twitter, now the process is continuing, and I love the city of Philadelphia. Dude, no shit.
Yeah.
I'd love it. I think I tweeted out, I'd like Bismarck, North Dakota would be my favorite place in the world. I would live in Montana for 5 years if somebody was going to give me $148 million and live in a shack.
I'll just wait until his next contract.
I'd live in a treehouse for 5 years for $148 million.
Oh, absolutely.
Would Harden sign 5 years, $250 million?
Yeah, something
Russell.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, Russ's was like $208 million or something.
Average $47 million a year. Jesus Christ.
So is this the time where you ask us if we'd give Jabari Parker?
Yeah, would you give? Yeah, you want to give Parker $148 million?
Hell no.
Nah, me neither.
Hell no. I love Jabari Parker, and if he is as good, if he becomes as good as he is in 2K18, then maybe we can start talking about it because that dude's freaking unstoppable. Same with Thon Maker, by the way. I just got the game, so I was playing for like 13 hours the other day.
Okay.
But those two are legit guys that you can build around. Obviously, Giannis is there. But, dude, it's tough to just let Jabari Parker walk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you let him walk. I just don't think you give him the max deal. I think you can still sign him to an extension.
He wants to get paid.
I know he wants to get paid, but as a GM, and I want to say his agent has to go to him and say, look, kid, I know you want to get paid, but I don't see an NBA team giving him, any NBA team, giving him a max deal. I don't. You have two torn ACLs.
Dude,
I don't think there's any team out there that's going to give him a max deal. Now, I'll come to him and say, hey, look, we just signed Giannis to $100 million over, what, 4 years?
Right.
We'll give you $100 over six.
There's no way in hell his agent goes for that.
I'm not saying, but there's no way he's going to get a max deal. Who in their right mind, what NBA team, would give a guy with two torn ACLs in his career, in his four-year career, would give him a max deal?
Who would have given somebody $148 million for 31 games in 3 years? There are some dumb-ass GMs in the NBA, and there are some teams that are so desperate to win. Somebody is going to pay that kid.
Yeah, and it only takes
one. Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
It only takes one. Right. Yeah.
And granted, okay, the Embiid contract supposedly has a lot of out clauses for the 76ers. Yes, it sounds, you know, crazy, 5 for $148 for a dude that never plays, but they did work themselves in some out clauses. Now, with Jabari, you would have to be the same thing.
Right.
And if Giannis is going to sign 4 for $100, there's no way in hell he can make more money than Giannis. So he's going to have to take less. The
problem with the NBA when Giannis signed that contract was that the TV deals didn't come into play yet.
Right.
And then he's the one that said, I want to be here, yada, yada, yada.
And that's why
you can't expect Jabari Parker to do the same thing.
No, but okay, so. Yes.
I think I can see Jabari taking less because Jabari wants to be here. Jabari right. talks but about how he loves the city. No, yeah, I don't think he's gonna sign for $10 million a year. No way that's gonna happen. But he should be pretty happy with $20 million a year.
They still gotta pay Embiid though, Jeff. Rami read it off on the big show today. I think it's like after the 2018-2019 season. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to speak. But either the 2018-2019 season or the 2019-2020 season, they got to pay that dude still like $86 million.
Yeah.
But then my question was, is it completely off the books? Because the Bucks were paying Larry Sanders like $5.5 or $6.5 million the last couple of years just from his deal because it was a buyout, so it was still on the books.
Right.
I wonder if that clause gives it completely out. Either way, dude, it's tough to give him that kind of money.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. So now, okay, so none of us would want to pony up that cash for Jabari.
I don't want to let him walk,
well, you
though.
Can't let him walk for nothing.
And trade him.
But, okay, so what
trade
are your
bucks? Trade him before the deadline. See what you can get
You could
for
trade
him.
Him.
If you don't want to give him that money and you know he's going to walk and you know somebody you hear, because you know other teams
but
talk.
But you're in.
If you hear other teams talking that they're going to give him a bigger deal, You trade him.
But you're in purgatory, man, because no one wants to trade for him because he's got the two torn ACLs. But then if you're rehabbing it, you're getting him back for the last 2 months of the season, and then he goes and tries to make money, you're kind of just like his daycare facility. Like, you're allowing him to get himself back to where he's got to go. So it's a tough decision, but... it's so hard for me to want to get rid of him, man.
Yeah, I agree.
He's
we'll
a great
see.
Player when he's
it's
on
a
the court.
Great scorer, and you, those guys just don't come around, Greg.
I agree, and I would I have no problem giving him a max deal if he didn't just tear his ACL.
Yeah. All right. So what Bucks win totals on the year, Tausch?
I think they get 50 games. I think this is a good team. I think this is a really, really good basketball team. And once you get to the playoffs, you have to be able to score in multiple different ways in multiple different sets. And this team can score in multiple different sets. They can run fast break with you with a smaller lineup that they have where Giannis can play a 4 or even a 5 depending on how big you go. And you can still shoot from the outside in your big lineup. So I think that's a really dangerous team, man. And I think they got some really, really good ball players that are continuing to get better. Don's continuing to get better. Chris Middleton is only getting better.
Let's not go there.
Middleton's an 19, 20-point-a-night scorer, so they're going to be able to put up points, and you got to take advantage of this last year with Greg Monroe.
So, okay, Tausch says 50. Greg, how many wins for the Bucks this year?
46, 47.
All right.
Somewhere in that range. They're going to be better than last year. Not having Parker really hinders them on the offensive side of the ball, but it also improves them defensively.
But are they going to be able to win a series in the playoffs? That's the biggest part.
That's your main goal this year, mm-hmm. is to win a playoff series. You made it last year. Now your goal this year is to win a series, to keep the evolution going, the trajectory of this team, keep it going in the right direction.
And Pipe Bomb just can't wait for the NBA playoffs. Like, you think he's excited now?
Honest to God,
April, this guy is just losing his mind.
Jordan came out today and talked about how super teams are ruining the NBA.
Yes.
No, they're not.
And how 28 teams are just going to be absolute garbage.
Well, that's how it was last year.
All you need to do right now, don't even play the season. Have Golden State play Cleveland. That's it.
You know, I would take it one step back. I would put, you know, Golden State against Houston in the Western Finals, Boston and Cleveland in the Eastern Finals. Just have two rounds of playoffs. Save us all the crap. You know, the only time I like the NBA season, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, is the off season, because the off-the-court drama is actually entertaining
right,
for me.
It is. It's the
when
best
they're
part
on
of
the court,
season.
It sucks. And it is boring as hell.
I don't think Houston's going to be that good.
Well, we'll
I'm
see.
I'm going to come
man.
Around and say I don't think Houston's going to be that good. They don't have the ball to go around enough.
There. OKC is going to be really good, too.
I don't think, and same thing there. I don't think they have the balls.
Oh,
there's not enough balls to go around. You have Russell Westbrook that takes 97 shots a game. You have Carmelo Anthony, who's never passed
so
a shot in his
70.
Entire life.
I don't care. You're
and then you have Paul
games,
George.
Dude. That's a good, those are both good teams.
I'm not saying they're going to only win 20 games,
we
but they're not going to be the world beaters.
With every team that comes up and every team that forms, they're not going to be able to share the basket. They figure it out.
They're not
figure
going to. They're not going
they're
to.
Going
they have
to.
Selfish players. Carmelo
They'll
Anthony is a selfish player.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked
James
about.
Harden is a selfish player.
Yeah, we talked about winners during the, you know, when we were talking about Deshaun Watson and, mm-hmm. and you know, you brought up Carson Wentz playing peewee college football. You know, and Carmelo Anthony.
I'm trying not to be hurt by that, by the way.
You know, granted, he won the national championship when he was at Syracuse. And thank you, Carmelo. You won me a boatload of money that year.
Nice.
But besides that, he has won. He hasn't won crap. So he's definitely not a born winner. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, okay, Bucks, my prediction, I give him 48. Eastern Conference is just god-awful. It's worse than it's ever been, with the exception of Cleveland and Boston. Everybody else is crap, maybe Washington.
Washington's good.
You
Toronto's
know.
Still decent, okay. though.
Yeah, no.
It's, beat him in the series last year.
It's crap. It's crap. But, okay, so.
God, Pipe Bomb is just so excited for the NBA. I just saw his phone just buzz, and it was like five NBA alerts. Just, man, this guy is juiced up.
Hey,
where are you taking first in your fantasy basketball league?
What? I'll take Joe Dumars.
Yeah. Bring it back to the old school.
Yeah, it sucks. All right, so what's your NBA? Who's going to win a championship in that stupid league, Greg?
Golden State. Golden State will break the record this year for wins in a season again. And they will win the national. They will win the whole thing. They'll win the championship.
All right. What say you, Tausch?
Cleveland.
Oh, please. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
You got, lose Kyrie. You still
you,
got,
you get
you got the big
Rose
baby
and
LeBron.
Wade.
And old ass.
You think
Dwayne
Derrick
Wade.
Rose is gonna make a difference?
Oh, you're drunk.
Well,
are you
they,
drunk?
They
already?
Gotta play if it only matters about the playoffs, he's only gotta be healthy for 2 months.
Oh, even when he was healthy last year, didn't do anything with New York.
He scored like 18 a game. In like 27 minutes of play.
And he also went home to take care of his mom
player.
Because
oh,
he didn't want to be with the
it
team.
With that. He's a good ball player.
Yeah, 6 years ago, when he had some knees.
No, I totally disagree. He had like 18 a game last year.
I didn't
he
know
can
he
put
not.
Up numbers.
He did not have 18 a game last
look
year.
Look it up.
I will look it up. There's no way he had 18 a game last year. Derrick
I'm
Rose
the one
is
sitting in front of the computer. There's no chance in hell I'm typing that in.
I think Cleveland's good.
I don't even know how to spell NBA. You know, Golden State wins. You know, who cares? Wake me up when it's over.
That's beautiful. That's awesome.
I can't wait for April because then spring training's back and baseball starts and we can talk about real sports.
Baseball starts in like March this year, which is weird.
Love it.
I do like it.
Yeah.
Short, maybe I can go for like 2 weeks of spring training.
He did average 18.
Oh, there we go.
18 on the dot. 18 on the dot. Playing for a horrible Knicks team that couldn't score.
Don't care. Well, then he's playing with better players, so he's going to score 20 again.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's junk.
All right, cool.
The only thing I wish for this NBA season, A, is for it to be over as quick as possible, and B, is for anybody but LeBron to win. I hate him. Mm. Anyway, anybody, any final thoughts? Anybody?
Golden State's going to dominate the NBA.
All right. Tausch, final thoughts?
No.
All right, let's go get drunk.
Love it, Pipe Bomb. Let's do it.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Dive Bar edition of the producers here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com. For Greg, the Professor Janik, Baby Tausch, me. We'll see you next week, suckers. Raise your glass, Milwaukee. Here's to life.
This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2, Wauwatosa.